MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. I'm chatting with John Reid, World Gold Council. John, appreciate the time. We had the Q2 2024 demand trends report. I mean, some of the standouts, a record $2,338 an ounce, 18% up year on year, 13% up quarter on quarter. And gold demand, notwithstanding those high prices, up 4% year on year. Strongest Q2 in your data that you've got over the many decades.
Absolutely. Look, it's been a good quarter for the gold industry. And we've seen strength coming through from a couple of areas in particular. Central bank purchases, which have been at a very high level since the middle of 2022, mm-hmm. have continued to be really strong. And then we've seen investment, particularly in the over-the-counter market or the sort of secretive purchases that are made bilaterally with the banks. That's a very significant component of gold demand. So, yeah, it's been a good quarter for the gold market.
You mentioned central banks, and certainly, I mean, they're down on perhaps some of the previous quarters, but they're still buying. And I suppose what's perhaps critical for in the banking space or the central banking space, they're not price sensitive, really. This, for them, is more about diversification. It's more around worries about geopolitical risks.
Yes, I would say that they are sensitive to the price, however. Typically, what happens with a central bank, in my experience, is they make a top-down decision to increase their gold holdings, and then the reserve management team put that into operation. And reserve managers are the same as anybody else. They don't want to be seen to be paying the high in the market. So when the price has been on a bit of a tear, like it has done in the second quarter, it's not unusual to see some central banks stand back a little bit and see where the price is going to settle. So I'm not surprised that we did see slightly lower central bank purchases quarter on quarter, even if it was up 6% year on year. I mean, 184 tons of central bank buying in a quarter is a big amount, but they're not completely price insensitive.
Okay, I take your point on that. And I suppose what also then happens is that the prices, which for the last quarter are record, they start to, you know, if you roll a year forward, they start to become the normal, assuming there's no change in the gold price, unlikely. And then they sort of come back in either on weakness or on just a case of, well, the price has stabilized, we'll buy some at these levels.
In the end, I think that's right. I mean, I don't think central banks change their decision about how much they're going to allocate to gold on the basis of where the price is. It might affect the timing of their purchases if they think that gold has run up a lot very quickly. But you're right about the record high prices becoming almost the benchmark, because that's very much how other sectors of the market behave as well. When the gold price goes up rapidly, we see jewelry buyers particularly step back from the market because, again, they don't want to be seen to be paying the high if the price is going to come down again. But one of the themes that we've seen really through the first half of the year, not just the second quarter, is that gold's corrections have been relatively shallow and haven't lasted very long. And that's giving confidence, I think, to buyers who don't want to pay high prices, but they recognize they'd better perhaps get involved in the market sooner rather than later, because there seems to be an upswell of supportive buying around on any correction.
Yeah, and I take the point around price. We did see jewelry demand down 19%, as you say, on that price. But retail investment, I mean, Asian retail investment, and we've seen this coming through, they continue to buy. Even Europe saw some smallish but inflows during April and June. The retail investor, in many ways, less put off by the price, although maybe they were timing some of those small sell-offs you mentioned.
Yeah, and I think we've seen some interesting behavior amongst retail investment, actually through the whole of this year and potentially slightly longer. What we're seeing is emerging market investors in coins and small investment bars have been enthusiastically buying gold. Mm-hmm. At the same time, where we've seen slowdowns and sharp slowdowns in the case of Europe from the more traditional developed market investors in coins and small bars. So that contrast has really come through again in the second quarter. But the interesting thing, and you've highlighted it just there, is that we're beginning to see signs that ETF investors in Western markets, who have been on average modest sellers over the last 3 years, but there are indications, I think, that ETF investors are beginning to return to the market, probably in the case of Europe due to, you know, the ECB cutting rates, and then in the States an anticipation of rate cuts coming pretty soon from the Federal Reserve.
You say Asian, that would include China, because the one thing we had seen retail investment in China picking up, and that was, you know, my logic went there was, well, the housing market's really in trouble and the stock market had been doing really poorly. But the stock market's picked up this year, yet they still seem to be in the market quite a lot.
They are. I mean, property is the prime investment asset of choice in China, and that continues to struggle. The equity market hasn't done perhaps as bad as the property market. Mm-hmm. But I think Chinese investors have been very much encouraged both by the performance of gold, but by the fact that the People's Bank of China continued to buy gold through most of the first half of the year. But then in May and June, reported no increases to its holdings. And as I mentioned before we reported this interview, I'm currently in China at the moment. I'm sitting in a fairly dreary hotel in Shenzhen by the airport. But one of the things that comes through from the conversations that I've had in the last week has been a bit of a slowdown in investment demand in gold. And that might be partly due to the fact that the People's Bank of China is not reporting increases in holdings for the last couple of months. So I've no doubt that Chinese investors will continue to buy good amounts of gold, but it was really strong in the first quarter and at the beginning of the second quarter. Now it's slowed down somewhat.
Gotcha. A quick last one. We also see technology demand continuing to increase, up 11%. This primarily AI. It is small, but it is not insignificant. And it's another trend that seems to have longevity.
Yes, I think so. I mean, it's important to remember that gold's technology or industrial demand is a small component of demand, sort of about 7% of total demand. And that demand's been pretty stable, to be frank, over the last couple of decades. Even as gold's use in electronics has continued to grow, the companies are getting better at making chips smaller and using less gold in them. So it's a bit of a, you know, a bit of a trade-off. More chips, smaller chips, less gold per chip, but still really important. What we're seeing now, though, and we're hearing this repeatedly from our conversations with industry, is that the use of gold in electronics is growing, partly because of the chips that are being made for artificial intelligence, but partly because everybody is going to have to upgrade their smartphones, their laptops, everything really that's connected to the internet to take advantage of this AI boom should it materialize. So there's a good possibility that we'll see a few years of relatively strong growth in technology demand as people are forced into upgrading all the electronic devices in their houses and their offices. Look, it's not going to turn gold into an industrial precious metal like palladium.
Yeah.
But it's certainly going to help at the margin, that's for sure.
Yeah. And of course, there's all that pull forward tech demand we saw in the pandemic, which is now all being replaced at the same time. John Reed, World Gold Council, always appreciate the insights. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.